but Wall gets the rebound, throws it out to Thompson. Thompson with the three, and it's good. The place is electric here in the college shutout. As Toga tries to go with the shot, T.J. Clef scores ahead of by number two, Colin Marshall.
Waiting for the field goal. That is blocked by Brad Sturgis. You have got to be kidding me. He blocked it and caught it at the same time, and he's going to bring it to the house for another Sturgis press touchdown.
It will do it. State Joe's Prep doing it on the state championship game for back-to-back years. And State Joe's Prep is headed to the Palestra. For the first time in school history, the St. Joe's Prep hockey team are state champions.
You're listening to WSJP, the voice of all things St. Joe's Prep.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the fourth episode of our college football talk show, Inside the Zone. I'm Tyler Conrad, joined by my co-host, John Pease, and today we're going to be breaking down the big games from around college football from last week, including any big upsets, and also we'll be previewing the upcoming week. Our game of the week is number 2, Georgia at number 13, LSU, so make sure to stay tuned to hear John and I's analysis of that one. And now I'm going to bring in my co-host, John Pease. John, how are you?
Thank you, Tyler. I'm great to be here, and exciting week in college football and a lot going on, upsets all over, so I'm excited to talk about it.
So per usual, we're going to be moving into our first segment, which is the recap of the top 10 games. Number 1, Alabama took on Arkansas, and the first play of the game, Alabama really showed why they're number 1 in the nation. In 15 seconds, Bama scored a TD. Tua was 10 for 13 and 334 yards with 4 touchdowns and 0 interceptions in the first half. Damian Harris at 15 carries, 111 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And Alabama was up 41-17 at halftime and then brought in all the backups, and they brought home the win 65-31, John. So really, Alabama in this game pretty much proved why they're a tier ahead of every other team in the nation. What do you really have to say for Bama's play call?
Well, Tyler, you're right. Bama right now is the best team in the nation, and they're certainly playing with it, especially behind Tua Tagovailoa, well over 70% passing in every game he started. Still no interceptions. He looks absolutely phenomenal out there for Alabama, and right now the Tide are rolling.
And one thing, you know, even though Tua does look great, Alabama's opponents, especially on defense, have not looked up to par. I mean, the best defense they've played so far, arguably, is Arkansas, who put up 30, or they only scored 65 points on, where they just brought the backups in the second quarter, where it took them to halftime. But, you know, Alabama obviously is going to be the top tier ahead of Ohio State and Georgia. But moving on to number 2, Georgia, they played Vanderbilt, and the Dogs brought home the win 41-13. Jake Fromm had a breakout game with 276 yards and 3 touchdowns, along with 0 interceptions. And Kayshawn Vaugh for Vandy, their running back, he did run 9 times for 79 yards, which is something we don't really see against this Georgia defense because their D-line is one of the best in the nation. But wide receiver Terry Godwin had 95 yards and a touchdown. He only had 2 receptions, but a beautiful breakout 75-yard touchdown on the Georgia drive. And Georgia outscored Vandy in every quarter with the starters were in, which is the first quarter to the third quarter. And, John, right now, Georgia looks good, but they do are going to play at LSU. Fortunately for the Dogs, it is at 2:30 Central Time, so that may be a little advantage. But what do you have to preview? Not too in-depth, because that will be in our later section, but what can you preview for this Tiger-Dog matchup?
Well, Tyler, I just think Georgia right now, the Vanderbilt game, while they still played very well, I think I would have liked to see a little bit better, especially from the offensive standpoint. I think Georgia, an extremely talented team, but I'm so curious to see how that offense is going to line up against definitely the best defense they'll play until the SEC championship.
And we'll get more into that at the end of the show when we're going to go over the game of the week, number 2, Georgia at number 13, LSU. But moving on, number 3, Ohio State played Indiana. Indiana kept it close throughout most of the first half. 28-20 was the halftime score. Ohio State was leading. But OSU finally turned on the Jets in the second half, playing elite football and outscoring Indiana 21-6 in the second half and took away the win 49-26. Dwayne Haskins, another Heisman performance, 33-44, 445 yards, and 6 touchdowns. And, John, right now, Ohio State looks unstoppable.
Well, Tyler, yeah, the Buckeyes, they're looking pretty good so far. Dwayne Haskins, obviously, the phenomenal game against Indiana. And we talked about on the show, Indiana would keep it close for at least the halftime. So pretty good week for us last week, I would say. But overall, the Buckeyes are just a much better team than Indiana. And when you get down into those third and fourth quarters, it really starts to show.
And really, when you think about it, since Michigan State isn't ranked, their only possible, I would say, non-upset loss would be to Michigan, where if they keep winning, you know, as obviously our Penn State fans say, they lose to Penn State, they beat Wisconsin this week, they're looking at maybe a 10-2 record going to that Ohio State week, or excuse me, 9-2 record going to Ohio State week. So that'll be a pretty big game for Ohio State. But moving on, number 4, Clemson took on Wake Forest, and Clemson was just hot from the gate, shutting out Wake Forest in the first half 28-0, and they ended up winning the game 63-3. Trevor Lawrence, 175 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. And Clemson running back Travis Etienne had 10 carries for 167 yards with 3 touchdowns. And, John, so far we know that obviously Kelly Bryant transferred and Trevor Lawrence was the freshman. He's going to be backing up. But going down the stretch, he already threw an interception against Wake Forest. How confident are you that this freshman can take this team to the college football playoff?
Well, that's where it gets interesting because obviously from a talent standpoint, you got to put Trevor Lawrence up and above Kelly Bryant. But Kelly Bryant already has that experience and led Clemson to the number one ranking going into the playoffs last year and lost to an extremely talented Alabama team. So down the stretch, it's definitely – it could hurt Clemson in a couple spots having a freshman starting at quarterback. But overall, I think it was probably the right move to put him in at the starter.
And hopefully you can develop that experience needed to take him to the playoff. And then, of course, they're going to have to win in the playoff if they want to do anything. But – moving on to one of the most, I guess, hyped-up teams in America right now. Number 5, Notre Dame, took on previously ranked number 24, Virginia Tech. And Notre Dame had a scary first half. They only led by 1 at the end of the first half, 17-16. They did take advantage, realized that VTech just wasn't a good team, and they finally took over the game, outscoring the Hokies 28-7 in the second half. Running back Dexter Williams had 17 carries, 178 yards, and 3 touchdowns, and Notre Dame took the win 45-23. And, John, I know – I'm not going to spoil anything, but you have some exciting news for Notre Dame as we go at the end of the episode. But what did you see from the Fighting Irish last week?
Well, what I saw from the Irish was it was a good football game, I'll say that. I wouldn't say they were playing at an elite level or an Alabama level or anything like that. But they played a good team in Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech, I would not put them as an elite, but the second half, and that's really what you needed the Irish to do in that game, and they were able to do it, so props to them for a good look.
And moving on to the Big 12, number 6, West Virginia played Kansas, and West Virginia won 38-22. Will Greer went 28-41 with 332 yards and 4 touchdowns, but he had those 3 interceptions that may be costly moving into the Heisman race. And Letty Brown at 107 yards and a rushing with a touchdown. So, John, obviously Will Greer, say he doesn't throw those 3 interceptions, that's a really great game, really good stat line, but those 3 interceptions just really killed the Mountaineers.
Yeah, Tyler, the one thing I'll say, though, is he's the guy that's thrown a lot of interceptions throughout his career. He's going to put up these big-time numbers, and that's just kind of always been a flaw of his. So if you're a West Virginia fan, you just got to accept him for who he is, and they still got a pretty big win over Kansas, so definitely a good performance from Greer. It's just he's got to find a way to start keeping those numbers down.
Greer right now on the season, 1,819 yards, 21 touchdowns, but as we both know, he does have 6 interceptions. And in his whole career, he has 21 interceptions to 65 touchdowns. So a 3-1 ratio, not bad. But Moving on to number 7, Washington, they played UCLA, and, you know, they won 34-21. Browning had 18 for 26 for 265 yards, a touchdown and interception, and Miles Gaskin rushed for 116 yards and 2 touchdowns. And, John, what did you see from Washington? Because obviously this week they're going to be going into a week where it's pretty much a must-win if they want to stick in this conversation.
Well, I think right now Jake Browning, he's doing his job, but I think he's going to need to elevate his level of play for sure if they're going to have it. Well, they have a chance against Oregon, obviously, but if they're going to really be able to pull away and win that game comfortably, I think Jake Browning has to step up his level of play. Only throwing for 1 touchdown. We've seen Washington, a team that struggles in the red zone, especially this year, all the field goals and the fumbles they've been having. So things haven't been going their way, but Miles Gaskin, he's a great runner, and I think he's a really big part of this Washington team.
And moving on to the one team that had a bye in the top 10, number 8, Penn State. And John, obviously that's your team. I'm just going to let you take it from here.
Well, Tyler, what we heard was, quote-unquote, it was the best practice we've had all season from an attention to detail and mentality perspective by Trace McSorley. So definitely some great news for Penn State fans to know. After that heartbreaking loss, they were able to get right back out there and get back to work because they don't want to lose the back-to-back weeks like last year.
So right now, Penn State is going into a week against Michigan State. Should be a relatively easy win. Michigan State hasn't looked the best this year. But moving on to our game of the week last week, it was previously ranked number 19, Texas, versus previously ranked number 7, Oklahoma. And Texas won in a thriller, 48-45, as Sam Ellinger threw for 314 yards and 2 touchdowns. And he added 72 rushing yards with 3 touchdowns. And little Jordan Humphrey, as John said, had the best name in college football. He threw a touchdown and also caught one with 133 yards receiving. And, you know, that was one thing that, you know, as we know, John, you predicted that as Dicker the kicker. Beautiful field goal at the end of the time and put the Longhorns to win the win. John, what did you take away from the game of the week last week?
Longhorns, Tyler. I picked them to win, and I'm very glad I did it. Sam Ellinger, a phenomenal game. Something we've seen, just a sophomore, 2 freshmen last year that started, had so many kind of mini mistakes at the end of games that hurt the Longhorns, but able to go out on that final drive, look composed, and find his receivers on not too hard of passes, but either way, he got the job done, set up his kicker, and boom, Texas is back.
You heard it here first. Texas is back, but rounding out the top 10, number 10, UCF played SMU, and UCF won 48-20. Do they have the strength schedule to make the playoffs if they do go undefeated? That is going to be the question throughout the whole season if they stay undefeated. And honestly, I think they deserve a chance, but I don't think they're going to be in the playoffs because their strength schedule is just way too weak. But Mackenzie Milton did have a great year. Excuse me, is having a great year at QB. But, John, I mean, this UCF team, I'm not going to say they look flawless, but in their conference, I'd say they look flawless. But I just don't think it's enough to make the college football playoffs.
It's just, Tyler, they don't play a ranked team all year, and it's hard because that's like – it puts it in a different situation because do you want to reward the guys that are playing, you know, these weaker competition, or do you want to reward a team such as, I don't know, hypothetically Penn State that lost one game against a team that UCF's never come remotely close to having to compete with. So it's a hard situation, but obviously UCF doesn't get to make their conference schedule. They don't control that, but – it's just they haven't beaten anyone, so do you want to reward the unbeaten but absolutely no competition or the flawed but have played a lot of teams? It's a hard call, and honestly, you know, I'm very against UCF making it in that situation.
And one thing you have to think about is, say UCF does go undefeated and wins their conference, number 9 Texas is, I think they're going to lose another game. I think Washington will lose another game. I think if Penn State doesn't lose to Michigan, I think, and obviously they play Wisconsin, but that's at home, but I think if Penn State escapes with Michigan with a win, I don't think they'll lose again. West Virginia, I think, is going to lose. I think Notre Dame's going to lose this week to Pitt, but I think Clemson, John ecstatically opens his mouth, but I think Clemson, I honestly think they're going to take a loss. I don't think Trevor Lawrence has the experience to go undefeated. They're going to be in the top 5, top 4, and that's really what UCF's going to want. So it's something to think about. And the one really big upset this week was Mississippi State took over number 13, Auburn. Auburn's now ranked 23rd. But They won 23-9. Jarrett Stidham had no touchdowns. Auburn's offense just really struggled. And Nick Fitzgerald missed to be 69 passing yards all game, but he did have 198 rushing yards. So that's just really crazy for me. Mississippi State really took the game over just purely running the ball. Neither team really had a great offense.
That line right there, Tyler, is taking dual threat to a whole new level. 69 pass yards to 198 rush yards in the QB. That's hard to do. But Mississippi State Bulldogs, led by one of my favorites, Joe Moorhead, they're a pretty good team. This is a big win for the program.
Now, Mississippi State is ranked now. Auburn didn't fall out, so they're going to be the eighth team in the SEC ranked. Pretty large. 14 teams in the conference, 8 ranked. Not too shabby. But moving on to the next upset of the week, which shockingly, even though Tom Abington did go 12-for-20 last week, he did predict it. Utah beat Stanford. Obviously, Stanford without Bryce Love, but the Utes took over the win. John, what did you see from that game from the Cardinal and the Utes?
Well, Tyler, I was shocked when I saw the final result of that game. Stanford got killed by Utah, and it's just coming off a loss at Notre Dame, you think, you know, they'd be really fired up trying to bounce back, say they're still in it, and to get killed by Utah, they're completely out of any kind of contention now, and I'm really disappointed in what we saw from the Cardinal.
And it's pretty funny because if they don't collapse, if Oregon doesn't collapse against them, they're looking like one of the best teams in college football, and then you have Stanford, who's unranked last week, so that's something to look out for. But moving on to our Heisman predictions, John, who do you have so far for this Heisman race? I mean, it's been a pretty close race, but Tua's really been taking it over.
Yes, I've got Tua at my number one just because he's not playing full games, so he's not going to have the stats the other guys, but he's still 18 touchdowns and 0 interceptions is what stands out to me, and a 97 QBR. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the country. Note that college QBR is out of 100. It's not like the NFL. So just so impressive from that standpoint. And Tua is the man. And if he leads the Crimson Tide to an undefeated season, he will be winning Heisman.
And the crazy part is he's only playing halves of football. He's not even playing the whole game. So while that may benefit him in the interception category, I think that touchdown category goes way up if he continues to play the whole game. But as you said, you know, my number one's Tua. Pretty much, basically, he's only playing the first half, and he has these outrageous stats. So, and as you said, the passer rating is the high. If he continues this trend, it'll be the highest to ever do it. And coming in at number two for me, I have Dwayne Haskins. I mean, just he's a touchdown animal, 25 touchdowns on the year. He has 19 yards. But our special, I guess, guest, Garrett McCluskey, as we will have Tom Werner coming on for the guest picks. But he says A.J. Dillon is Heisman. I'd have to disagree with you, Garrett, but continue what I was saying. Dwayne Haskins is an absolute touchdown machine, 25 touchdowns, 71.7% for the completion rate, and only 4 interceptions. So I think if he leads Ohio State to purely, I guess, a near to undefeated season, maybe a one-loss season, he's got to be up there with Tua. And, I mean, as John, as you said, unless Tua collapses, I think Tua's going to run away with it. But you got it, number two.
Well, I've got number two, Kyler Murray. A lot of people, you know, starting to move him down after the loss to Texas, but he still played a phenomenal game. It's not his fault his defense gave up 48 points, but that's besides the point. Right now, he's just having such a good year, and I think that with 1,764 yards and 13 yards per attempt, I think he looks absolutely spectacular, and he's been so consistent. Plus, he's a dual threat with all that speed. I think Kyler Murray is right up there with Tua, if not. He's right up there.
Great analysis by John Pease. But, I mean, my number it's pretty much non-explanatory. My number three is Kyler Murray. John's number three is Dwayne Haskins. But moving on to the player of the week, my player of the week was Dwayne Haskins. He threw for 6 touchdowns, 455 yards, 33-44 passing, and he really showed that he can sling it downfield. I mean, against Penn State, who was a relatively good defense, they're – he couldn't sling it. I mean, he just could not throw the ball downfield. He threw a lot of screen passes, and that's really what got Ohio State to win. But he finally proved against, obviously, Indiana that he can throw the ball. John, who's your player of the week?
Well, I've got Jonathan Taylor, the running back for Wisconsin. He had 24 carries for 221 yards. Kind of breakout game he needed, in my opinion. And with 3 touchdowns, this is exactly what Wisconsin needs, a lot of momentum with the running game going into Michigan. And they're going to have to establish that early to beat the Wolverines. So I think Jonathan Taylor, a huge week, and he's going to need to do this again.
And moving on to our fourth segment, which is our winner of the week / loser of the week, John, there's a lot of teams that had really great wins, obviously a lot of upsets, but who was your winner of the week?
I've got Texas A&M as my winner of the week, Tyler. They beat the most talked about team in college football, and I mean more talked about than Bama. Who cares about Tua when you can talk about Bryce Snell? At Texas A&M, completely conquered him. I'm so proud of Jimbo Fisher. Talked about him a lot. Great head coach. And the Texas A&M Aggies, they're back. And I think give Jimbo Fisher a couple years, I think this program is going to be right back. And they're going to be able to compete with Alabama. And just one thing, for everyone listening to imagine if Johnny Football and Jimbo Fisher were there at the same time. That team would have won 4 national championships.
Very bold prediction. 4 national championships if Johnny Football and Jimbo Fisher were there. But I got number 14, Florida. They beat number 5, LSU, coming off of a win at number 23, Mississippi State. And they got a pick six to put the icing on the cake for the upset of the week. And, you know, John, as we both know, your win of the week, I predicted that upset. My win of the week, I predicted that upset. So I'm saying, but I think Florida had a really great game this week. They played Vanderbilt, and then they have a test. They got a bye week, and then they have a test at Georgia. So, excuse me, it's at home, but they play Georgia. But that's going to be a really crucial test. And if they win that game, they're going to be in the top 10. And don't be surprised if they're maybe – I can't even speak right now because I'm just speechless. But they – just don't be surprised if they make a push for that college football playoff if they win out. But we're going to take a quick break here on – as John says, it's not happening. But we're going to quick take break here on – we're going to – I'm going to need some water. But we're going to take a quick break here on Inside the Zone. We'll be right back.
But Wall gets the rebound.
Sedrona Mancano LLC is a litigation boutique dedicated to representing clients in criminal, civil, and administrative controversies. Mark Sedrone and Joseph Mancano are committed to a standard of excellence in the service of their clients and are consistently ranked among the best lawyers in local and national publications. They bring skills honed over decades of experience to resolve the most challenging legal problems. Call 215-925-2500 to contact Sedrona Mancano for more information. Go Prep!
Hi, my name is Father Chuck Federico. I'm the Senior Director for Mission and Ministry here at St. Joe's Prep, and you're listening to WSJP, home of St. Joe's Prep Sports.
And welcome back to Inside the Zone, and as I can finally regain my English language, we're going to move on to Section 5, our college football playoff, and the two teams on the outside that are looking in. And right now, at number one, I have Alabama. I mean, surely they're just the best team in college football by far. They're playing peanuts right now, but they're going to get a test November 3rd at LSU. John, who do you got at number one?
Well, Tyler, there's no argument to make for anyone other than Alabama taking on the number one spot right now. And you said it all. The Crimson Tide, they're the best team in the country.
And at number two, I'm going to save John some breath. I got Ohio State, and so does he. And they really got a statement win over Penn State. They got a 76% chance of making the playoff now, and Haskins does look top tier. Other than that bad performance at Penn State, he's really just had nothing but great games. And for number three, John, who do you got?
This is where I bring the Clemson Tigers back into the playoff picture. they played so well against Wake Forest, and with Trevor Lawrence back, I'm starting to believe in this team again. They've got the best defensive line in the country, undoubtedly, and I really think they have the potential to turn it on and make some things happen throughout the year.
And I'm on my number three spot, I have the Georgia Bulldogs. They do look second tier, obviously Bama being the first tier. Their strength of schedule isn't good so far, but Jake Fromm's finally looking good throwing the ball deep. And if they beat LSU, they jump to number two for my college football playoff. And also, their strength of schedule remaining after that LSU game is number nine in the nation. So that's one thing. They have not been playing a lot of teams that are good. Obviously, Tom Avington loves to rip on Georgia because he wants Notre Dame to be in the playoff. But speaking of Notre Dame, they're my number four team. They obviously are an undefeated team. They finally got the right QB, in my opinion, with Ian Book. And even though now, because of the rankings, they only played one ranked team, which was at home, but right now, I don't think Notre Dame's a great team, but I also think that their schedule isn't that good, and I think they'll win out. But I think Michigan versus Notre Dame right now at a neutral site, I'm taking the Wolverines. John, who do you got at number four?
Number four, this is where I'm going to put the Bulldogs. And the reason I'm moving them into this spot is just I have a lot of concerns about their offense, Tyler. I'm really, really nervous about Jake Fromm and what he's going to do against that secondary in the country. And the strength of schedule is kind of falling apart right now with Auburn being a very bad team and LSU coming off a loss. So right now, Georgia, if they lose this game, I don't know necessarily if they'll have the strength of schedule to make the playoffs, and they just have not played anyone yet that I'm not confident in what Jake Fromm is able to do right now, but we'll have to see.
And if they lose to LSU, I think if they beat Bama, obviously in the SEC championship, they'll make the playoff. But other than that predicament, if you lose to Bama and LSU, I don't think there's any way you're getting into the playoff, as you said. But my number five team is the Tigers. They really haven't proven themselves, in my opinion, other than that 63-3 win against Wake Forest. And they honestly don't really play anybody. Lawrence starting, which is great. But if they don't go 12-0, I think the strength of schedule may be a problem for getting into that playoff. And to round out my top six, I have Penn State. Their only loss is to Ohio State by a point. And if they beat Michigan in the Big House and then they win out, I think they're going to have a real chance to make the college football playoff.
Okay, at number five, that's where I put Notre Dame, and just Ian Book brings a new dimension to this team. But as you said, their strength of schedule is an embarrassment. Like, I'd be pretty embarrassed to see these teams they're playing. So it'll be interesting to see if they can win out. If they do, I guess they'll be in, but they're not getting tested at all this season. And my number six, same to you. I've got Penn State, and they're such a close loss to the Ohio State Buckeyes. Obviously, Ohio State was the better team in that game, but Penn State was playing better, so it's extremely hard to see the team that plays better not get the dub, especially at home in front of the 12K. So with a game left at Michigan and a game at home against Wisconsin still left in the season, I'm just going to say do not count the Nittany Lions out of the playoffs yet.
And moving on to our sixth segment, we're going to give the team with the most to prove. And right now I got Wisconsin. I think they need to beat Michigan just to even stay in playoff contention. We saw the real BYU when they needed to play Washington. They needed to win, but they lost 35-7. So honestly, I think if Wisconsin loses this game, I think they will win the Big Ten West, but I just don't see them contending at all.
This is where I bring in the Ducks, Tyler, for my team with the most to prove. And I think they absolutely have to beat Washington, just like you said, in order to stay alive in the playoff case, in the playoff chase. And I think Oregon is an extremely talented team. Justin Herbert, a great QB, but he's going to have to step up and play very well against the good Washington defense.
And moving on to our upset of the week, speaking of the Ducks, I got the Ducks over number seven, Washington. I think Oregon has looked really great so far this year, other than that collapse against Stanford. And honestly, I think Mario Cristobal is coaching the right team, and if they don't collapse, I think they're ranked in the top eight, and Justin Herbert just looks like a great QB, and he's a potential number one pick if the Giants continue to struggle throughout the year. Go Birds tonight. But, John, who do you got for your upset of the week?
I've got two pretty crazy ones this week, not going to lie, but for now at least, I'm only going to say one, and that's I've got the Pitt Panthers beating the number five Notre Dame Fighting Irish, and the reason it's not just out of the blue that I'm saying that. Pitt, in the last two seasons, back-to-back years, have beaten a top-five team in the country. And, yes, they're playing at Notre Dame, but when I say a top-five team in the country, this includes beating number two Clemson in Clemson in 2016, the year the Tigers won the national championship. So they beat the national champions on the road. They definitely have the capability and the experience to beat Notre Dame on the road, I would say. And it's just the Panthers, especially against Notre Dame, they've had some seriously great success. So when Notre Dame had the undefeated season a while ago, the Panthers were really their hardest game that Notre Dame only won because of a missed field goal. And I think in this game, Pitt is either going to win in a thriller or, I mean, they could get blown out, but I'd prefer to see the thriller.
And, you know, as you speak of the top five, the only potential really top, even 10 win is number 16, Miami. They're going to be playing at Miami, but I don't even think Miami's going to be in the top 10 by the end of the season because that is the last game of the season. So if the stride continues, Pitt will take down Notre Dame. But moving on to our score predictions from the top 25 games, I was 18 for 23 in the first week, 16 for 18 in the last week. And last week I was 15 for 20 at 75%. And I just barely beat John. He was 14 for 20. And in total, I'm 49 for 61, and John is 45 for 61. Our guest picker rankings, Ricky is leading the group right now, 13 for 18, 72%. And Tom Avington, unfortunately, kind of failed. He was 12 for 20 at 60%. But bringing on our guest picker for today, Tom Werner. Tom, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great, Tom. But let's move on to this first game. We got number 23, newly ranked USF versus Tulsa. And, John, I just don't think this is a question. I got UCF winning 31-10.
Yeah, Tyler, South Florida, great team, and lucky you, I've got them winning 34-17.
South Florida's easily going to get the win 31-17.
So we all got USF in this one. And our second game of the week, or excuse me, not our second game of the week, just our second game in general, Tennessee is going to be taking on number 21, Auburn, and I think Auburn's going to bounce back and win 28-10.
Well, Tyler, this is interesting to me because Auburn is really struggling right now, and it's hard for me to put them back in a spot where their offense is going to shine, but they're playing Tennessee, and you know I'm not a fan of the Vols. They've been horrible as of late, and I just can't see them really challenging Auburn. I've got Auburn 37-19.
I think Auburn's going to get this win easily, but it's going to be closer than you think, 31-24.
Now, Tennessee is 2-1 at home, but they're 0-2 on the road, and obviously they're playing at Auburn, so pretty substantial. Auburn's going to win this. And number 3, Ohio State is taking on Minnesota this week, and I just think the Buckeyes are going to blow them out of the water, quite honestly, 51-10.
Yeah, Tyler, Ohio State, such a good team, a lot of talent, but I do think Minnesota is also a pretty good team. I'm not going to lie. I think that, yes, Ohio State's going to win convincingly. I've got 49-27 Buckeyes, but don't sleep on Minnesota to put up at least a couple points.
Buckeyes going to get the win. Win by a big margin of 54-20.
And moving on to the SEC battle, we got number 14, Florida, coming off that huge win at LSU, taking on Vanderbilt. And right now I think the Gators are going to keep on rolling. I got them over Vanderbilt 28-14.
Yeah, Tyler, Florida, a very, 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 very much so better than Vanderbilt, Vandy. Obviously, just as we said earlier, in the SEC, keeping the GPA up. That's all that matters. Gators 33-13.
I got the Gators going 34-17 easily, because they're a very hot team right now in the SEC.
Now we got John's upset of the week, Pitt taking on number 5, Notre Dame. And John, as you said, it may be a thriller, but I think it's going to be a blowout. Every time I picked against Notre Dame, they've won. So I'm finally going to learn my lesson. I got the Fighting Irish 31-3.
Not so fast, Tyler. Look, you know, as a Penn State fan, I absolutely hate Pitt. You know, we beat them 51-6. It was one of the best days of my year. But the thing is, on this Saturday, I will be rooting for the Panthers. And I think they can do it. A great team on the road, a great team against ranked opponents in the top 5. And I've got Pitt winning 43-42. I think this has great game potential written all over it, and I cannot wait to see how they line up.
I got the Irish going in the win, 27-13, going to be more of a defensive battle. But they're definitely going to come up on top.
Now, they are playing at Notre Dame, so that may be a tough game for Pitt, but as John said, anything can happen. Now we got John's team, number 8, Penn State, taking on the Spartans of Michigan State, and I think Michigan State's really fell off. I do think they're going to contest with Penn State, but I got Nittany Lions winning 31-25.
We are Penn State. Nittany Lions win 48-20.
Nittany Lions, easy win right here, but it's going to come close. Definitely going to win, though. 34-27.
Now we got newly hyped up, as John said, Texas is back. Baylor taking on Texas at home. I got the Longhorns winning 31-26. I think Baylor is going to make it a battle, but Texas just seems to keep winning, but just by little increments. So I think they'll take this game by five.
Yeah, Tyler, it's just Texas, a really inconsistent team. They kind of play to the level of their competition. We saw that against Oklahoma, and before that, we saw it against Kansas State, a team they should have blown out. So I'm going to give it to the Longhorns, but 23-19, just because they need to start being more consistent.
Texas going to get the win. They're going to play down to their opponent, as John was saying. So they're going to only get the win 24-17.
Moving on to another SEC battle, we got number 22 Texas A&M taking on the Gamecocks of South Carolina. And right now, I think Jimbo has looked amazing. He obviously beat Kentucky in overtime, so I got A&M taking this game 35-16.
Yeah, Tyler, I just think Texas A&M is a much better team than South Carolina. It's plain and simple. They're better coached, obviously, more talent, and I've got them winning pretty convincingly 48-17.
One of my upsets of the week, I got the Gamecocks winning in a close game, 35-31.
And the only real reason I think that South Carolina is going to lose is because Georgia blew them out of the water, and they didn't look good at all. It was 41-17 that game, second game of both weeks. So I just think A&M and Jimbo are going to take this one home. But moving on, number 10, UCF playing Memphis. And right now I just think UCF is going to take this game 35-16 and make their playoff push.
Yeah, I've got UCF winning this one 38-17. I don't see anything special in Memphis, and UCF, yeah, they're going to win.
UCF, the claimed national championships, are going to get the win 48-27.
And now moving on to the Big 12, a pretty popular game for this upset pick. Number 6, West Virginia, taking on Iowa State at Iowa State. And I really seem to be the only one believing in the Mountaineers. I got the Mountaineers winning 29-21.
Go Cyclones, Tyler. We saw it last year. Beat Oklahoma. Took Oklahoma down to the wire this year. Do not sleep on Iowa State. They're a good team. Go Cyclones.
I also got the upset, Iowa State, my apologies, 31-27. It's going to be a close game, but Iowa State is going to pull away at the end.
Now we got number 16, Miami taking on Virginia. Virginia hasn't been looking good so far this year. And I got Miami taking it 7 touchdowns to 2, 49-14.
Yeah, I just can't see Virginia keeping up with Miami. I've got 35-17.
Turnover chain's going to be coming out today, or this weekend. Miami's going to get the win 38-24.
Now moving on to the real national champions, Missouri is going to be playing at Bama this weekend. Plain and simple, I think Bama's over everybody. I got Bama winning 54-7.
Well, Tyler, reading their name, I see Missouri, misery, misery. Bama wins 66-7.
Bama easily going to come on top, 51-13.
Now we're going to move on to the Pac-12. We got number 19, undefeated Colorado, taking on USC. And honestly, I just don't think Colorado's that good. Their opponents just have not been up to par, and I got USC taking this one 31-10.
Well, Tyler, maybe Colorado's not good, but I think USC is back. So I've got Colorado winning this one 27-26 in a very close game.
USC is going to come out on top of this game with their star-studded wide receivers, 27-24.
Now moving to one of our key matchups during this week, we got number 17, Oregon, versus number 7, Washington. I'll be breaking down Oregon while John will be breaking down Washington. And for Oregon, one key factor, I think, is going to be Justin Herbert. I think he's going to have to put the ball down the field, score around 2 to 3 touchdowns, and I think they can get the job done. For why Oregon can win, I think Mario Cristobal, if he can clutch up and make the right play calls, I think they'd have the coaching advantage, and they obviously can take this game. And my player to watch, obviously QB, Justin Herbert, he's been really leading the Ducks this year. He's got 1,400 yards, 15 touchdowns, and 89.2 QBR. My bold prediction is Oregon picks off Jake Browning twice and is going to take the win against Washington.
Well, Tyler, moving on to the Huskies, who took a shot there at the end on their QB. But I think they're key factors. Like you said, Jake Browning, he has to have a consistent game. He's been so on and off in his career. And if Washington's going to stay alive in the playoff hunt, this is going to be at the time. This is going to have to be a time where he's really on. And then I think that if you're a believer in defense wins championships, then you're definitely going to be believing in the Huskies this week to win. And my player to watch for Washington is Ben Burke-Kervin, the linebacker. 9 tackles last week and a sack. A couple of those tackles being for losses. So I think he could cause a lot of issues for Justin Herbert, and it'll be interesting to see how he lines up on defense. And for my bold prediction, is Jake Browning goes for 75% or higher completion rating.
Now moving on to the predictions, I think the Ducks are going to really just try to avenge that loss, even though they are coming off a win. I think they're going to try to avenge that loss going against Stanford. I got the Ducks winning 31-17.
Wow, there's a lot of respect not being put on the Washington's name there, but same thing as you. I think Oregon is the better team in this matchup. I think their offense is so much better, and I think their defense is pretty overhated, I'll say. They're not underrated, but I think they can play well enough to get their team a win. I've got Oregon winning this one close, 38-32.
Jake Browning is going to definitely lead their team in this win for Washington. They're going to win big, 48-38.
And moving on to the college football game day, actual game of the week, we got number 12, Michigan, taking on number 15, Wisconsin. I'll be doing Michigan. John will be taking Wisconsin. And for my one key factor for Michigan, I think Michigan's defense has to be explosive against Jonathan Taylor. Right now, they don't know if Rashawn Gary is going to play, but if he does play, I think him and that whole Michigan defense, especially that secondary, they're going to need to be big. For why Michigan can win, I think home field advantage is huge. I mean, obviously, we know Michigan, when they're at home, 2 years ago, they blew out Penn State. But right now, I think if Michigan can – Sean stares me down. But if Michigan can play to the par that they've been playing at, other than the first game, I think they can take this win. And my player to watch is Caron Higdon. The running back has been explosive all year, and he has the ability to put the Wisconsin defense to sleep. And the bold prediction for me is Higdon rushes for 3 touchdowns, and Michigan comes out with a blowout win.
Well, Tyler, moving on to Wisconsin, I think the one key factor for them is Jonathan Taylor, and he's going to have a huge game against this Michigan defense, because if they have to get one-dimensional and throw the ball every play, their secondary is going to absolutely feast on Alex Hornibrook. And moving on, why Wisconsin can win is I think they have a lot more experience in these big games than Michigan does. Michigan, pretty young team overall, and Wisconsin been to the Big Ten Championship for back-to-back-to-back years. Very good team, and they've got a lot of experience playing in environments, especially Alex Hornibrook. That's a key factor in the game, experience. And my player to watch is A.J. Taylor, the wide receiver for Wisconsin. Only 60 yards last week, but he's much more of a downfield threat than that. And my bold prediction for Wisconsin is that their defense forces 3 turnovers, which would be huge.
That'd definitely be huge for the Badgers, but right now, my score prediction, I think Michigan, as I said in my bold prediction, Higdon's going to rush for 3 touchdows. They're going to come out with a blowout win, 35-10.
I think Wisconsin's a better team than that. I've got Michigan winning this 27-24, but I think it's going to be really close and come down to the wire. It's just ultimately Michigan's talent on defense prevails.
I got the Badgers on top. I see Michigan coming with a late-game push, try to take this game, but they're going to fall short. Badgers 35-31.
And that'll conclude matters with our top 25 games. And when we come back, we're going to have our final segment of the day, the highly anticipated breakdown and predictions for number 2 Georgia at number 13 LSU. We'll be right back.
What's up, everybody? I'm Frank Raffa, teacher of Spanish and French at the Prep, and you're listening to WSJP, Prep Sports Radio.
Hi, this is Bill Abington, Class of 90, Director of Communications and proud moderator of WSJP, the voice of St. Joseph's Prep.
And welcome back to Inside the Zone. Right now, John and I are going to be breaking down number two, Georgia, at number 13, LSU. And Georgia is coming off a win against Vanderbilt. Georgia does trail in the all-time series 13-6, but their defense looks amazing, as it did last year. And right now, the Dogs are coming off huge momentum going into this game.
Yeah, definitely. Two very good teams going into this game. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And overall for LSU, though, that loss to Florida, definitely a heartbreaker. But talk about the all-time series. The Tigers lead it 16-13 over Georgia, and LSU 478-165-19 at home all time. So definitely a big advantage in this game for them.
And going on the injury update, Georgia has a lot of them this week. D lineman Devontae Wyatt for his knee, he's going to be questionable. Offensive guard Solomon Kinley for his knee, he's going to be questionable. And also offensive guard Ben Cleveland for his leg, he is out. Defensive end Trey Bishop for the knee, he is out. And obviously, if you do follow Georgia football, running back Zamir White, also known as Zeus, for his tours ACL. So he is out since week one. John, what do you got for LSU?
Well, Tyler, the only injury really for the Tigers this week is offensive lineman Garrett Brumfield is out for the third straight week with a knee injury.
Pretty long one for Georgia, pretty short one for LSU. But for why either team could win, I think Georgia can win this game primarily because of their defense. I think their defense can easily take over Joe Burrow and this LSU offense. And really, if they take over Joe Burrow, their D lineman gets pressure, their cornerbacks lock up. Obviously, Devontae Baker, big AP pole player, but if they lock up and their offense plays a little good, obviously Greedy Williams is going to be locked to Riley Ridley. So if Mecole Hardman, the second-string wide receiver, can get open, I think Georgia's going to have a field day against this LSU defense. But, John, what do you got for the Tigers?
No offense is going to be having a field day in this one, Tyler. But I think the Tigers and LSU can win this game. Is their secondary is unmatched throughout the country, and I think it could cause a lot of trouble for Jake Fromm or Justin Fields, whichever one's on the field, because of their youth, and they could definitely make some big plays out there.
And for our player to look out for, I got wide receiver, as I said, number two, Mecole Hardman. He's got 22 receptions, 335 yards on 15.2 yards per catch and 4 touchdowns. He's got at least 2 receptions per game, and he claims to be the fastest player on the team. And as I said before, Riley Ridley's most likely to be matched up with cornerback Greedy Williams, a potential first-round pick next year in the NFL draft, so I'd watch out for him. And, John, obviously, I see yours is Greedy Williams, but why do you got him?
Well, Tyler, he's the best defensive back in the country. That's why I have him there. 10 tackles against Ole Miss this season high. He's an interception machine, and he rarely gets thrown at. But if Jake Fromm decides he wants to test it, it's going to be very, very interesting to see where that ball ends up.
And now we're going to give our keys to the game for each team. And right now I got for number two, Georgia. I think if the Dogs force Joe Burrow to throw the ball, Joe Burrow threw for 19 for 34 last week, 0 touchdowns and 2 interceptions with only 192 yards against the Florida defense. Obviously, it was at Florida, but Georgia's defense is loads better than Florida's defense. And my number two, I think they got to get the ball out of Nick Brissett's hands in the red zone. Nick Brissett, for last week, he only ran for 95 yards, but he did have 2 touchdowns. So that's definitely going to be a key factor. They got to get the ball in the air and try to pick off Joe Burrow. And my final prediction is going to be, I think they're going to have to take over the game with special teams. Rodrigo Blankenship is 121 for 121 for extra points with his career at Georgia. And he's only missed 2 field goals so far, both coming off of Mizzou when he was potentially sick, and one of them was blocked. So really only 1 missed field goal for Blankenship.
Yeah, and Tyler, moving on to LSU, I think the number one is that they're going to have to pressure Jake Fromm. I think we can all agree Fromm's been a little inconsistent so far this year. And if LSU can get some pressure on him, force him out of the pocket, make some kind of interesting throws, then he's going to make some bad decisions and LSU's secondary can really feast off of that. And they can make a game out of just forcing Fromm into bad decisions. And second off, Joe Burrow needs to be on his A game. And we saw last week against Florida, he was horrendous. And that's why LSU lost. Quarterback play has plagued the Tigers in previous years for a pretty long time. Last time they've had an even competent quarterback was Zach Mettenberger, which was a while ago. But overall, LSU, he's going to have to step it up if the Tigers want a chance. And Finally, I think Ed Orgeron is going to have a great game plan for the Tigers. He's their head coach, for those who don't know Ed. He's really inexperienced, never beaten Bama, has not beaten Georgia, but he hasn't played them. And he's kind of had some pretty bad losses in his career, and I think he's going to have to step it up and have a good game plan for the Tigers to win.
And then we got five bold predictions last week. I'm pretty sure we got two right, right? Yeah, we got two right last week. John got one, I got one. But for our five bold predictions, John, what do you got?
First off, I think the LSU defense is going to force three or more turnovers. I just think they're that good, and I think they'll definitely be able to force Jake Fromm into some bad decisions.
Very interesting take, as Jake Fromm only has two interceptions the whole year, so that obviously bump his average double plus one. And I think the Georgia offense is going to have, contradicting to yours, zero turnovers against this LSU defense. I think Jake Fromm is going to be poised enough, as we saw against Oklahoma in the college football playoff last year, to not throw to Greedy Williams' side when, obviously, Riley Ridley's on him. And I think Riley Ridley isn't going to get that many targets, primarily because of Greedy Williams, but I think Jake Fromm's going to be poised, composed, and I think George is going to get zero turnovers against this LSU defense.
Moving on from my next bold prediction, I think that Nick Brossette, you talked about him earlier, a touchdown machine. I think he'll have three or more of those against Georgia, and I think he's an extremely talented running back, and he knows how to get into the end zone.
And, you know, as we said, he's more of a power back, not really a speed back, but as you said, if LSU gets in the red zone, is efficient on offense, just even throughout the first 80 yards of the field, Nick Brossette's definitely going to push you those 20 yards to get those touchdowns. And my last bowl prediction, I think the Georgia running backs are combined for three touchdowns, and Fromm's going to throw for 250-plus yards on the best secondary in the nation. I think we saw Jake Fromm last year, at least in the first half against Alabama. He was really poised, and obviously the whole game against Oklahoma, but I think Jake Fromm's going to capitalize, use this team to take advantage of him, and I think the Georgia offense is going to be really great against this LSU defense.
And for my final bold prediction, two of the best kickers to do it in college football right now, going head-to-head, I think that both of them will hit a field goal 50 or further in this matchup, and that's going to be key.
That'll round up our bold predictions. Now we got the score prediction. Right now I got the Dogs taking it 34-21. John, what do you got?
Well, Tyler, I've contemplated a lot with this game. I really have, and it's, you know, I've been feeling a little dog in me, a little tiger at other points. So it's been so hard to choose, just because I think what it really comes down to for LSU is going to be the quarterback play. And I think that if Joe Burrow's on and has a great game, LSU can beat Georgia. But if he plays like he did against Florida, it's a hopeless cause, and we're going to see something like 34-21. So after a lot of thinking, it's just pretty hard to come up with. Go Tigers, LSU 26-23 win.
Dogs are going to get the dub after they kick a game-winning field goal 40-plus yards. That's how it's going to end.
So a little bold prediction from Tom Werner. We're going to jot that down, see if he's right next week. And that'll do it for Tom, John, and I here on the fourth edition of Inside the Zone. Thanks for tuning in, and make sure to come back next Wednesday, as we will break down all the past week's action as well as a preview for the upcoming week. We will also be joined by a new guest picker, so you're not going to want to miss that. For John, Tom, and I, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Go Prep.